Sometimes we show a video that captures everything I want to talk about in just a few moments, and I so thank God for Eddie and his faithfulness in helping us find these amazing capturing pictures that really speak to life and how life should be and what God can do if we just submit ourselves to Him. Well, today we come to the most intriguing part to me of the book of Ephesians, because we come to the part where we have to walk in grace. We can't yield to anything less than that. And I have to tell you about an experience that happened to me this week. Early in the mornings, I often will get up and take a stroll down around my neighborhood with Chloe, our dog. And so, as is the case, I always wait till the sun gets up, because I want to be able to see where I'm going. Maybe you've had the same situation where you get out walking too early, it can be a problem for you. And so I found myself one morning this week, I was awake too early, and the sun wasn't up yet, and the dog is whining. And, you know, I said, "Chloe, bear with me, I'm waiting for the sun to come up." And she started whining more. And I said, "Okay, I will go against my better judgment. I'll walk in the dark." Now, we trained this dog well. This dog walks on the sidewalk, okay? So we're walking down the sidewalk, and I'm sure you've had this kind of experience before. Have you ever run into a spider web? I hate spiders, and I hate spider webs, okay? And so, and by the way, spider web, I don't understand this. Why do spider webs not grow down low where the dog is? Why do they have to spread across where I am? So I walk across the sidewalk, and an entire spider web covers my face. Are you getting it? I mean, can you feel that web right now in your face? All right, I don't want you to get that far, okay? So the spider web is on my face, and if you ever get a spider web on face, what do you do really quick? You move fast to get that off of your whole body. You start dusting yourself off. And of course, you know, if anybody in the neighborhood had seen me, they would be thinking, he's finally gone over the edge. And so I'm glad Susan and others weren't awake to see this, who live in the neighborhood. And so I'm getting it all off of me. And have you ever had that feeling when you get rid of the web, you go, you know what, man, I'm not walking again at that time again, ever. And so I keep walking. Well, when I get up in the morning, I don't look beautiful like I do now. So I always put a ball cap on. All right, I always put a ball cap on so that the neighbors are not afraid of me with my hair going everywhere. And so I'm walking, I walk another about 30 or 40 feet. And on the inside bill of my cap, there's a giant spider. And have you ever had that moment where you're looking at something, you're going, I can't believe this is happening to me. And I looked, and the spider was looking at me. And you know, have you ever had something that close to you? I mean, it's right there. He's looking at my face. And the spider was saying, "Gotcha, buddy. You messed up my entire night's work in one moment." And so, needless to say, the spider walked into eternity without a savior. Because I killed that spider as fast as I could. I slung my hat off, which, by the way, the dog watching this was quite interesting. Chloe was looking at me like, "Man, what happened to you? You're always so calm. You're slinging things. You're flying." And I was busting that spider on the mailbox, and it's making a lot of noise. I thought, these neighbors think I'm probably robbing their house. But as I encountered that moment, got rid of the spider, and the rest of the walk, I kept trying to find more spider web. All right, so let's make an application of exactly what happened with Paul. Paul hears about the church at Ephesus, and he realizes something. They keep walking into a spider web, and some of them are getting bit. And that bite is taking them back to darkness. You see, the reason I ended up in trouble was I went against my better judgment and the wisdom that says, don't go walk in the dark. You see, I've encountered spider webs before in my neighborhood. when I'm walking in the dark. And I knew better. But what happens is Paul says the church at Ephesus, they were walking, and Paul wanted to be a role model to them. So if you have your Bible, open, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. And as you're opening there, I want you to think about what happens when you hit the next spider web, and what happens when, watch this, when the spider is on the bill of your life, looking straight at you. Because what you're going to discover is this. There are many things that come at us that try to take us and move us away from God's ultimate intent for our life. So in Ephesians chapter 5, you find this unfolding text. Now, I want to remind you of something. From chapter 4 to chapter 6, there are numerous times he will use the statement, therefore. Okay? And here's what he's doing. He's building a case to show someone that when you live life the way you're supposed to, you keep being more and more responsible. You keep taking the next step. And here, when you get to chapter 5, verse 1, he's picking up on what he said in the very last part of chapter 4. He said, you're tenderhearted, you're forgiving one another. Therefore, become an imitator. He uses that word imitator, and I want to talk about that in just a moment. But what I want you to think about today is what Paul does in the 21 verse we're going to look at today, and we're going to look at it very quickly but very effectively, I hope. Paul shows them that everyone has somebody they can look up to. And for Paul, he knew that he could be a role model to guide their life. But they had to be willing to apply themselves the right way. So today, as you think about that, I want you to ask yourself the question, who do you identify as a Christian role model? Somebody you can look up and say, you know what, that person doesn't just talk about it, they live it. They live it out in an effective way. Because here's what you're going to discover. When you can identify who it is that's around you, has been a part of your story, who moves you forward, something grabs hold of you. And it begins to speak to your heart. And so what happens is you start thinking, now who is it that I can identify? And then you start thinking about, wait a minute now, what obstacles can I identify that I regularly have to contend with? What are things that come at me that cause me to go, uh-oh, I'm running into another spider web. I'm running into another issue. Which, by the way, if you hang out with the web, you will get bit. In other words, the longer and more often you expose yourself to that, something begins to happen that causes you to get bit. And so I want you to think about your own life and think about, hey, what happens if I choose to live the truth in such a way that when people see me, they see me as someone who does not get out walking in the darkness, but instead I'm living in the light. So look at with me just a few verses, then we're going to come back and see what this text said. Look, if you would, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loves you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And let me just insert here. This aroma that he talks about is the sweet smell of grace that becomes a part of our story as we learn how to live for him. All right? Look on down for a little bit further. Look at verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. All right? Look on down. Look, if you would, verse 15. I want to show you this all comes together. We come back to another therefore. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And I'm going to show you several things I hope that will help you in your journey of faith today. But here's what I want you to kind of get in your mind. Okay, you're living life. You live in a world that couldn't be any darker. There couldn't be any more heartache and turmoil than what we see in our culture. And you see all these different things. And then all of a sudden you begin to say, oh, no, I'm supposed to be light. And the light that I'm going to be is an amazing light that's bright and vibrant. And so you start thinking, okay, now how can I get to that place? How can I come to a place where walking in grace is a part of my daily story? And what you discover is you've got to choose, you've got to make a choice. Because what happens here in verses 1 and 2, he uses this word imitate. And what he makes very clear is you have to daily choose the right path in life. You've got to get up every day and say, you know what, this is who I want to be today. This is why I want to be this way. And you make that choice. And he says in verse 1 that you would become an imitator of God. When you look at the word imitate, it has these characteristics. It has to do with you being able to identify specific qualities that you want to be a part of who you are. That's why when you meet somebody who walks in grace, what does it do? You want to be around them. Happened to my wife and Abby and I at Cracker Barrel this week. And by the way, we meet a lot of good people at Cracker Barrel. If you want to have a good life, go hang out there. But I was at Cracker Barrel and we were eating, and an old preacher friend of mine, pastors a little church right around the corner here, normally has 12 people or so there every Sunday, and we ran into him. And when we saw him, you know, he's 80-something years old, and it's very interesting, by the way, a precious, precious saint of God, saint of God. In fact, in the middle of a great crisis one day, he learned what car I drive, and he drives by, and he sees my car's here, and he'll come see me. He'll come in. And so he saw my car was here one Friday, and he popped in, and we began to talk, and it's interesting because what he was facing, he just needed somebody to say to him, you can make it right through that. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. And he'd been preaching 55 years, all right? So we saw him at the Cracker Barrel, and I told Cindy, I want to make sure I buy their meal. That's a precious, precious man. And as we finished, I thought to myself, may God keep putting people in my path that the only part of their story that matters is Jesus. It's Jesus. And so I bought their dinner because I wanted to, and it was a joy to be able to do it. And it's interesting because they wrote a note to me and Cindy and Abby from our experience. It's interesting because she still types on one of those typewriters. You know, this is one of those where, remember those typewriters? Anybody here know what a typewriter is? It was back, you know, it's back in the old days, you know? And so she types on this typewriter, and it's interesting because here's what she said. It was so good seeing you all at Cracker Barrel last evening. It was such a pleasant surprise. Howard, her husband, finds it amazing that you're so loving and kind. He said, Pastor Gerald's an educated man, and I'm just an uneducated preacher. And I said to him, you both love Jesus and have kindred spirits. And when I read that, I thought, you know, the truth is, it doesn't matter how much education you have, doesn't matter how gifted you are at communicating. What matters, watch this, is Jesus. It's Jesus. And you got to choose every day to walk on that pathway. You got to choose, say, you know what, this is who I want to be. Because he says here, be an imitator. And what it's interesting because what he says is, when you identify the specific qualities you want to be like God, in other words, what do you want to be? You want to be a person of grace. You want to be a person of joy. You want to be a person who finds love and being able to encounter those that you meet along the pathway of life. And just, if you learn how to imitate God, then what you do is you start walking in love. In other words, you just start walking along in such an amazing and powerful way, because this idea of walking, and the reason this whole sermon is called Grace Walk, is he never intended for us to sit down and rest on the laurels of a faith from yesterday. He intended for us to operate on the terms of tomorrow as we live today. In other words, Lord, how is your grace going to work in my life? So today I want you to think about the last time you made a choice that it was really not a good choice. I mean, you just made an unwise choice. You look back and say, man, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't moved that direction. And what happens after a while, you go, wait a minute now. I can't reconcile a bunch of that. Grace takes care of all that. The cross answers all that. But what I can do is choose today to learn about the qualities of God that I want in my life, and I'm going to live those out. So first of all, you choose to live out that and choose your identity and that pathway daily, okay? The second thing you see, in verses 3 through 5, what he does is he begins to bring to light how important it is that we start obeying very clear instructions. Look at it with me, if you would. Verse 3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now when you read that, you realize something. That these verses, he begins to identify qualities that will either allow us to live effectively or ineffectively. And in this text, when I was reading this text, it reminded me of being a 21-year-old pastor in the first church I served in. And I'll never forget it as long as I live, because at that time, there were numerous prominent guys that were very successful who came through the doors of our church at different times, and some pastored in other large churches in our town. And it's been 38 years, but I can remember it like yesterday, because the pastor of a big church came in and was in the room talking to my mentor and me, and really more my mentor, because I was just a 21-year-old flunky sitting there and being learning from my buddy. And so, and he says something that is not appropriate. He says a bad word. And I look at him, and I'm like, I saw you on TV Sunday. I can't believe you said that. And it's very interesting what he said. This man's still alive, by the way. We're not friends, but he's still alive. He said, when you get older, you'll understand it's okay to talk a little broader and a little wider. Well, you know what? When he got done, and when he left, I told my buddy, he's wrong. I'm going to tell you something. And what Paul does here, here's what happened to the Ephesians. They started thinking that they could say what they wanted to say, and they could jest the way they wanted to jest. And as a result, they became ineffective. And what Paul brings back here is when you come to a place where all of a sudden you start obeying these instructions God has for you, what happens to you? All of a sudden you start living effectively. And you'll notice what he makes very clear here. In verse 5, for this you know with certainty. And I want you to think about this for a second. Understand with certainty. And let me just give you some parallel. If you live in a culture that says everything is okay no matter what, it's wrong. So don't get all confused thinking, well, you know, that must be okay because everybody else thinks it's okay. No. That's what Paul's saying here. With certainty, a person who tries to blur the lines of God's clear direction. I mean, it's happening in our very city. It's happening in our city where people begin to blur lines. Even make statements like, you don't need just this book. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's what gives you direction. It's what gives you hope. It's what meets you in the night watches of life when life is hard. It's what takes away your sorrow when you weep in the night. And for any of us to conclude that we're smart enough that we don't need it anymore, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And what I want you to see today is this. When you learn how to understand with certainty, here's what happened. You take away all the blurred lines that can confuse you and can create difficulty for you. Which, by the way, what grace does, grace helps you know how to love somebody who's blurred the lines. Grace helps you be able to know how to walk in a way that encounters that person and says to them, there's a better way. There's a better way. So today I want you to think about, ask yourself this question. What things do I know for certain? For example, if you don't believe in heaven for certain, if you're wise, you'd find that quick. Because everybody's going somewhere, you want to go north no matter what. All right? And so if a person sits around and says, I just don't understand it. I'm going to give you an illustration in a moment. We get this third point, but I want you to get this in your mind. What do you know for certain? I'm going to tell you, when you learn how to understand with certainty, it becomes concrete to you. It's not something that's vague. And I'm going to tell you, what takes away the power of grace and the gospel is when someone begins to say, there's more than one way to find your ticket into heaven. And I'm going to tell you, there is no other name written among men whereby we can be saved but Jesus. That is the answer, okay? Keep that in mind. So, the first thing you do is you start choosing daily. You know what? I'm going to be who I'm supposed to be. Secondly, you start saying, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I follow these instructions. I'm going to make sure that I make a choice to obey whatever it is God says to me. And then when you get to verse 6, he begins to illustrate for us the contrast between grace against darkness, okay? And I want you to park here with me just for a second, because here he opens up. Notice what he does. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly in darkness, but now you're light. You're in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For, watch this, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Three things that come out of every light. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10. trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Because if you do that, you will not participate. Look at verse 11. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all these things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Pick it up off of Isaiah chapter 60. And when you get there, he says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men. We're going to come back to in just a moment. So, what does he do here? He identifies all these things, and it's interesting because here's what he does. He lays out for you and me how to make sure we're always walking in grace and how we make sure we don't allow darkness to invade any part of our life. All right? So watch this. The first thing he says is be careful, and it has to do with avoiding three very distinctive things. Okay? Watch this. First of all, he says avoid deception. Avoid deception. Look if you would there. Again, at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Which tells you something. Just because somebody says something, if they're empty of value, be careful. Be careful, because what you're doing is you're making a choice to get into something that's going to cause you to end up moving away from truth. All right? And watch this. What truth does, truth sets you free. All right? What Jesus came to do was to set us free. And what does he do? He exposes the truth. So you got to avoid deception. The second thing is, you don't just avoid deception. You make sure you avoid association with deception. Look at it with me, if you would. In verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. In other words, you just don't make that choice. You don't start associating inside of a world that is dark and say, you know what, I want to be a little bitty 5-watt bulb burning in a big dark bar. No. What you're really saying is your bulb is going to be unscrewed before you walk into that bar, because your witness may be gone before you ever get there. So what he says here, don't be a partaker. And what does it mean to partake? It means not just to talk about it, it means to do it. It means to make a choice to move away from what God's best is for your life. And it's interesting, because how many choices we make do we go, you know what, I wish I had made that choice. I wish I hadn't gone that direction. I wish I had said something different. But the truth of the matter is, when you start associating with it, it begins to lead you away from what God's intent is for your life. So watch this. You avoid deception. You avoid association. And how do you do that? You all of a sudden, and you'll notice, you would look at verse 11 and notice what he said. Do not participate. And what he says here is this. Avoid participation in what ultimately will take you down. Will take you down. I'll never forget. It was a couple years ago. I was walking out of a Chinese restaurant, and I ran into a lady that at one time I knew was walking with God. And she was stumbling out of a bar. Stumbling out. And by the way, you want to cause somebody to go into cardiac arrest, be a pastor and see somebody doing the wrong thing. I mean, their eyes get really, really big. I mean, a few years ago I ran into a guy who was with somebody he wasn't supposed to be with. Wasn't his wife. At a bar. I went at the bar, by the way. I was at the restaurant part. I got to clarify that. But I saw him across the room, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to walk up. So I walked up to him. I said, man, how's your wife doing? Needless to say, his response was quite interesting. He looked at me like, oh, my goodness. And you know what? He choked. He couldn't even introduce who he's sitting by. And I looked at him, and I pat him on the shoulder. I said, you know what, I'm going to call her because I've been missing her. He's like, you are? Oh, yes, I am. Because what happens is, when somebody starts participating in darkness, what happens? They get messed up. They get messed up. And so you and I need to be wise enough to go, you know what, we don't want to live that way. All right? So watch this for a second and get it in your mind. All right? Because grace always conquers darkness. Because here's what Paul said. You are in the light. It exposes everything. Let his grace become a part of who you are. And then all of a sudden you get energized. You have an equipping inside. And you're able to go, you know what? I don't need what the world has. I don't need what the world throws at me. I'm going to instead make a choice. And what you and I do is when we learn how to make wise choices, then all of a sudden our story becomes so much more effective. It becomes so much more connected to what accomplishing what God intended. Because if you choose daily to live the right way, and you You learn how to follow the instructions God gives you. And by the way, he always gives you all the instructions you need. And it's interesting because I was reading in a passage this week, and if I can pull it real quick, I want to just kind of illustrate for you, because I was thinking about a couple things, and then I began to read these verses, which, by the way, sometimes when I do this, I lose what I'm looking for, but I think I'm there. All right, listen to this. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Note the word descend. And though while he lives, he congratulates himself, and though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. And this is what the writer of Psalm 49 says, they will never see the light. And I read that, I thought, you know, isn't it interesting that oftentimes we don't focus our lives the way God intended, and we get to thinking about different things that don't matter. Because watch this carefully. Doesn't matter what house you live in, it does matter who lives in your heart. Okay? It doesn't matter how blessed you are, it does matter how you don't let your blessing become a burden. And if you walk through each one of these steps, you discover that God has something in store for every one of our journeys of faith. We just have to be willing to go, you know what? I'm not gonna let anything get in my way. I'm going to choose daily to follow him. I'm going to make sure that I don't avoid all this darkness. And then you come to verse 15, okay? And look at, if you would, verse 15, and I'm going to wrap this whole story together so you can kind of see, because what I want you to see today is this. If a spider web comes up at you, knock it down before the spider bites you, all right? And what stick do you need to knock down every spider? You need this sword. Because here's what the sword does. It cuts the web completely. Okay? And so what happens in verse 15? Look at it, because here you come to his conclusion of how they're going to live effectively. Before he begins to address and speak to the issue of how important it is that our families and others and our relationships are strong, he gets to this point where he comes down to the very last verse we're going to look at, even about how we submit one another in the fear of God. And so in verse 15, he starts talking about how important it is that we learn how to exercise wisdom in our walk. And my encouragement today is this: think about how to exercise the wisdom that God has for you. So look at verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things. And you ought to underline all things, because that's when your perspective is centered in gratitude, you encounter grace much quicker. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. And so before he gets to verse 22 and starts talking about relational submission, he starts talking about spiritual submission to the Lord. All right? So look at it and just get a hold of this. Look at you at verse 15. Notice what he said. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men. And the word careful there has to do with you being wise enough to know exactly where you're supposed to walk. It has to do with something being precise. All right? So what he says is, don't walk where you're not supposed to go. Don't take that step. Be careful how you walk, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So what does he say first of all? Make every day count. Which, by the way, when you look at the word time there, it is this word from the original language. Everybody has a fixed season in which to live. Make sure every moment counts in your season. All right? So he said, make every day count, and you and I need to do the very same thing. Look at verse 17. Then he says, so don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is he saying here? Look for his will. Don't rest all your things on what you think. Look for his will and see what it is he has for you. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Look for his will. A third thing he says here is that we need to learn how to make wise choices. Look at verse 18. He says, don't get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What does he do here? He uses alcohol as a contrast. And here's what he's trying to say. And this is not a sermon about alcohol. This is a sermon about a choice a person makes, because if you make a wise choice to be filled with the Spirit, you can't fill yourself up with anything else. All right? And so what he says here, be careful what you choose. Because you make a wise choice, you're going to let the Spirit of God work inside of you. And it begins to happen inside of you in such a powerful and amazing way. In this very room are people who made choices, watch this, not to be drunk with wine, not to be drunk with beer, not to be drunk, because they wanted to be filled with the Spirit. They were equipped, many of them were equipped through AA and other things, to what? To discover that that higher power, his name is Jesus, and he transforms. And how, thank God, that people like George and people like Caleb and others, they found something that caused them to see, you know what? We don't have to be filled with that. We can be filled with him. All right? So, he says here, be careful, make wise choices. But then one final thing he says, and then I want to conclude this by sharing a story with you. Verse 19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And here's what I want you to see. Sometimes you just need to stop and you just need to sing a song to him. And I want to end with this story. I had a chance to encounter a stepmom this week who in the midst of being in her role, found herself with stepson who basically, what she had, he didn't want. And it obviously positioned her to pray and believe and trust. And so as a result, the stepmom, obviously, and the dad, they interceded for the young son. Well, he graduated from high school this year and he went off to college. And in the midst of college, there was a shooting on his campus at his apartment complex. Well, needless to say, it startled him because when somebody dies, you're done joking about God. Startled him. It even startled him more that he had to go out of his apartment and go get his roommate who was down there in the middle of it all. It so stirred him that he realized something. What my stepmom and dad have, I don't have. And I want that. And so at 11:45 in the night, the phone rings. And it's the son. And he's saying, I want what you have. Because when it's all over, if something happened like what happened here, I want to be serious enough to know I made the right choice. I want to be serious enough that I know the answer. And as a result, this 18-year-old boy went from not wanting anything to do with their story to realizing that God was writing a greater story in him. She began to confess the amazing grace that she's seen inside of him since that day. 18 years old, watch this, and watch this carefully. You can be 18, or you can be 28, or you can be 58, or you can be 98. Without Jesus being the author and finisher of your faith, you can't walk in grace. Amen. And so, she shared. He prayed. Well, his dad was off on assignment somewhere else, and it was too late in the night, and the stepmom said, I've got to tell your dad what's happened, but I'll wait till the morning. And these words came off the lips of an 18-year-old boy who had told his father, I don't want what you have. Please don't tell him. I want to. I want to. And as I heard that, as I listened to this stepmom's story, it's interesting because she shared a principle that I hope you will walk out of here with. She was talking to him on the phone, and she said, you know, life is not always easy. And she said this statement, it's not always better, but it's always worth it. That's what grace does. Life is not always better, but it's always worth it. And if you're here today and you've never said yes to him, I want to invite you to say, you know what? I want the same thing that 18-year-old boy had. I want an encounter with God that changes everything about who I am. If you're here today and you realize that you need something more than you have inside of you, let me tell you what Jesus did. He filled that boy up to where his life is transformed. Absolutely transformed. Maybe you're here and you need your life transformed. Maybe you're here and you become part of our family. God's speaking to your heart about that and you realize, I want to be in a place where the Bible still is taught as the Bible. That it's still the toolbook and the guidebook for everything that we ever do in life. If that's the case, I want to invite you as well. If God's speaking to you, I invite you to respond. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this amazing service. I want to thank you for a young man at 18 years old who realized something. He didn't need to anchor himself in the confusion of his parents' faith. He needed to anchor himself in the reality of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here who needs to encounter that reality, I pray you would awaken their heart. If there's someone here who is right on the edge of the spider web, the spider waits to bite them. May they realize that when you walk in grace, the Word of God cuts down every web that comes at us. Lord, if there's someone here who just needs a special touch from your heart, I pray, Lord, they would respond to that. Lord, bless as we respond. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the opportunity to come in your house and preach your word. And Lord, in a dark culture that's moving so far away from the truth of your word, may we lift it higher and higher and higher, because it is what will bring us home. It is what founded this nation. It is what will establish this nation. And it's what will guarantee us a future. Lord, speak to hearts. For someone here, let them respond to you in Christ's name. Amen.